And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on the David Spoon Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. We resume our discussion in Romans chapter 4, verse 6. Now, you guys got to get a little bit ready. This verse conveys a potent theological message that, if understood, can actually liberate one from guilt and shame. King David spoke of the joy that comes from being declared righteous. But how can a sinner, undeserving as they are, be declared righteous? How can that happen? Well, we know the answer lies in Jesus. But there's another perspective, and we talked about this briefly, and we're going to dive into it today, that's also deeply compelling. David describes a person declared righteous as someone who has been forgiven for their disobedience. In other words, they're righteous because they were forgiven, and whose sins have been removed from sight. In other words, it's not just righteousness of Jesus that reconciles us with God. Listen to what I said. It's not just the righteousness of Jesus that reconciles with God. It's also the fact that our sins were crucified with Jesus at the cross, leaving us sinless and forgiven. That's a very deep theological distinction. We'll try to get into that. What's remarkable about this passage in Romans is that it helps us understand that when Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, three significant events occurred. Our sins were dealt with at the cross. In the burial, Jesus died for us, laying down and destroying the power of the old earthly self. In the resurrection of Jesus, there was restoration of what was lost in the garden, a renewal of relationship. That's why it's crucial to understand the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which we receive by faith, given to us by God's grace, mercy, and given to us because he loves us.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oive. So much more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. Let me ask Jacob. I want to make sure. He's a professional person in radio. Jacob, is this professional radio?
No, it is not, David.
Okay. I'm just making sure everybody understands it. This is what we are. We're a fellowship. We're a group of people that are learning to love one another, to put up with one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to weep with one another, and to dance with one another and rejoice. And so there's a couple of ways you can reach out and connect with us. You can do that by email. That's always good. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Yeah. Really? Yeah. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. But when you make that call, you should be ready, because then you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person. Hey, hello. Hey, hey, hello. Hey, 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 hey.
Thank you, David. Happy Triumphant Tuesday.
Happy Triumphant Tuesday to you, my friends. Well, I'll tell you which meal we did of recently cheat on. So we've been having a – and I told you about the ice cream one, right? So that was the first week. That was pretty good. So this – now we're in a new area in life, and when you go to a new geographical area in life, and most people will know this, you tend to notice there are other restaurants that you haven't either seen or tried or stuff like that. So we're in that mood and that mode, and so we're giving ourselves a little extra space. And so before we went for the pizza, which normally would be my call, we went for the Mexican food, which is Noelle's call. We do that first because I always think putting her first is just a good idea. And we did go to a Mexican restaurant, and they had, I will tell you now, for my cheat meal, I had a special quesadilla that had fajita, chicken, and three or four different kinds of cheeses melted into it. It was like,
Oh, I'll take that right now.
Right now. It's just like, yes. I mean, that was really good. Just telling you. And yes, I eventually worked it off. But that's not the point. The point is it was delicioso. All right. So that's what it's like talking to Jacob. If you want to make a call and talk to Jacob, you can do that. So why would you call outside of talking to Jacob? Why would you email? Why would you text? And that's for a couple of different reasons. You can share a praise report. We love that. Praise reports are a blessing. We rejoice. We always rejoice with people because it's such a blessing to hear what the Lord is doing in people's lives. Plus, it is an encouragement to the person who shares it. Plus, it honors the Lord. If something you share can honor the Lord, how could you not? I mean, how could you not is really what I'm saying. So if you got something to share, share it. It does not have to be you cross the Red Sea. It could be something small, like I prayed for this thing, and lo and behold, there it was. That's it. You think that's a miracle. You're still in touch with the supernatural, and that blesses people. I think most people think that testimonies have to be just enormous. No, they don't. It's just as important to know, and it is, and listen to what I'm saying to you. This is actually for some of you, and I just know this is from the Lord. It is important to know that God cares about those little things. It is important to understand that He knows the hairs on your head. It is important for you to understand, because He knows the hairs on your head, He knows everything else. And those little answers, what I call gracelets, I didn't make that word up, that came from John Wimber, which came from somebody else way before him. Those little gracelets are a big part of your Christian walk. It's the little things the Lord says, look, and you go, wow. And you know it's Him. Share those. Those are cool, too. You have prayer requests. We can take our faith and combine it with the earth and petition the Lord. We get a lot of grace from the Lord for a lot of people. We think it's awesome. We can also do other things. You can share a joke if you got one that's good. You probably don't want me to ask me if I know it, because I know more Christian jokes than anybody I've met. But that's not the point. The other point is simply this. You can share anything you want, something that's going on, or you can answer Bible trivia. Like Bible trivia, like, oh, I don't know, like this one. This should be pretty easy, so I'm just going to say you guys should get this. What is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder? Genesis 28:19. What's the name of that city? What is the name, or what did he name it? What is the name of the place? Al steps in with Motel 6. I'm going to go, missed it by that much. Anyway, what is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder? Your answer is in Genesis 28:19. We will give the nod to Eric, who's the first one to get the pow-pow on this one. If you think you know, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So that's your question. Very simply, what is... Boy, this print is really small. I'm glad I got my really good glasses on. What is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder? Genesis 28:19. That is our triv question. Al wants everybody to know that if it's at Motel 6, then the Lord left the light on. Okay. We'll leave the light on. All right. Somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Well, about the same, but I just keep praying.
And we'll keep praying with you, brother. All right. This is a good question, because if you look it up, you get it right away. But to remember it, it's a little tougher, and there's something about it that's really kind of nifty. So I'll ask the question, give you a chance to answer, and then we'll go from there. What is the name of the place where Jacob slept and dreamed of Jacob's ladder?
Bethel.
That is correct, Amundo, sir. Bethel. What's awesome about that, of course, is Jesus makes a reference to that as well. You'll see angels going up and down, between heaven and earth. But it's also very cool to understand. It's one of the earliest pictures for us to understand that there is a connection between heaven and earth. And so that's why that's just like, oh, that's just really cool. Cool stuff.
Do you think they had a Motel 6 there?
I like what Al said. If they did, they would have left the light on. So I'm going to leave that there. That's so funny. All right, well, let me pray for you, and we're just going to keep praying for you and believing God, and I don't care. That's called bulldog faith, and we have it, so we're going to use it. So let's pray, okay? Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our brother, and Lord, Gary is a blessing, and I know he doesn't think so or doesn't know why. I mean, it's not in his mind, but it's because we show that there's a persistency, a confidence, and we keep knocking. And by showing that, Lord, we demonstrate that we have confidence in you. And we're not going to quit asking you, because you have the answer. And we need the answer from you. We need you to touch Gary's body. We need you to heal his body by the power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ. By the stripes that were laid upon Jesus. By the fact that you are Jehovah Rapha. By the fact that you do have compassion. We stand in that in Luke 7:13 because it's your compassion that moved you. We ask you to have compassion in this situation for Gary. Help him in all of the other circumstances. I'm still praying, Lord, that you would bless his week. I'm still praying that he'd have a really great week. But we're petitioning you specifically for healing for his body. And you, Lord, are the Lord God that heals. And we ask you to do that to your glory in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, my brother. Take care. All right. Excellent job, Motel 6. Everybody remember when they were really cheap? I'm just going to say that real quickly. Everybody remember when they were really cheap? I'm just asking you. Let's go back to the $19 Motel 6. All right, so we're going to do our DNA, and then we're going to do a little bit of teaching. So let's do DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Spend time with the Lord every day. I shouldn't have to convince anybody. You just need to do it. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Spend time with the Lord. I don't care. Just private, separated time. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. Look at what's going on. If anybody should be ashamed, it's the world. It's all the people that are doing all the weird things. That should be shame. But that's what happens when sin pollutes your mind. You don't understand that. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. That's the N. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. You're ready. Maybe somebody needs you to just call them, email them, text them. Maybe you just need to say a prayer for somebody. You know, that's serving. That's joining. That's participating. That's loving. Do you know that praying for somebody is loving them? Of course it is. You're helping carry their burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do any of those things the Lord puts on your heart. D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. All right, into Romans we go. We're not messing around. We're going right to it today. And that's because I don't know how to teach this any. I mean, the word itself is so much better than I can teach, okay? And the message of God is always better in its quality than the messenger, because it's a message of God. So let's keep that in mind. Here's what the text says in Romans chapter 4, verse 6. And I'm going to try and do my best to communicate it. I understand it, but I don't fully understand how to tell you about it. Here it is. King David spoke of this, talking about righteousness, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who was declared to be righteous. Okay? So he's going to do this. This is going to be in the Psalms. He's going to make this reference. We're going to get to that in a second. What I want you to understand from a theological point of view is we often think of righteousness as the redeeming or the righteous work of Jesus Christ, his righteous life put over upon us, and then God sees us in that righteous light. And that is not incorrect. That is correct. But there are other sides to things of this nature in theological terms. And one of David's communications is to understand that righteousness is somebody who's declared to be right even though they're an undeserving sinner. So while it seems like you're splitting hairs, you're not, and we'll get into the next section and it'll explain it a little better, but I want you to understand that David is talking about righteousness, somebody declared righteous because they're forgiven. He's not even talking about the Christology of it. He's not talking about the application of soteriology connected to the hamartiology. What he's talking about is a person is forgiven, and because they're forgiven, they're righteous. You can't be declared righteous if there's sin. So the forgiveness of sin is the wipeout of that. Yes, we come to learn it comes through Jesus Christ. But remember, David didn't fully understand the gospel application, so he's giving it from a thousand-year-ahead-of-time point of view, and that is simply this. If you're forgiven of your sins, God has made you righteous. Well, we come to find out that we're forgiven through Jesus Christ. So we're made righteous. You don't eliminate the righteousness of Jesus. But what you see is that forgiveness, which comes through Jesus, is another way to understand that you're right with God. You're right with God because there's no sin on you, because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, because that sin was washed away. You are right and righteous. That, however, does not make you a friend of God yet. Did you get that? Ooh, wait, what? Yeah, that's what we're going to get into next. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, yeah. La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Who personally baptized more people? Personally baptized more people? John the Baptist or Jesus? Who personally baptized more people, John the Baptist or Jesus? Your answer is in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 2. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 2. In the meantime, if you think you know, you can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. The reference point is straightforward. Who personally baptized more people, John the Baptist or Jesus? Your answer is in the Gospel of John, chapter 4 and verse 2. Interesting, right? So we're talking about personally baptizing people, and we've got just so much to cover. We do have somebody who's calling in. I want to give you that chance. So I want you to think about this. Go to the reference. Please check it out to make sure. Who personally baptized more people, John the Baptist or Jesus? John chapter 4, verse 2 is the place you want to be. Kind of sounds like the Beverly Hillbillies. Is the place you want to be. Okay, let's get that going. I will let people know this is not something that is happening right away, but in a couple of weeks, we are going to be, I think it's Memorial Day is the 27th. We're going to be taking that day off, so just so you can know, I'm just kind of telling people up ahead of time. And then, oh, don't forget the book. So I know it's like a shameless plug, and I hate doing it, but I've had a lot more response from this book than the other books. And so I think that's really kind of pretty cool, okay? So what I would really encourage you to do is if you are just need to get a good zapparoo in faith, check out the book. And in the book, if you cannot afford the book on the website, tell us and we'll buy it for you. We'll get it to you either the audio file for it, or the print copy, or an electronic copy. Just remember, it's the faith that pleases God. Okay? All right, great. All right, somebody is on the phone, I guess, and they are ready to answer the trivia question, and we want to give them that opportunity. So let us have them come on through. Okay. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Alan.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, that's great news. I'm glad you're doing wonderful.
Yes, sir.
All right. Are you ready for this? This is kind of a challenge, and you'd be amazed how many different answers we got on this one, which I thought was kind of, you know, interesting.
I think so.
All right. You ready? Here we go, then. Here we go. The question is, who personally, so that's the key, who personally baptized more people? Is it was it John the Baptist or Jesus?
That would be John the Baptist.
That is technically correct, sir, and we're going to explain that. So this is, remember, our third trivia question is always sneaky. Okay, a little bit sneakier. So here, let me read it, and then I think you'll understand. And I know you got this. Therefore, this is John chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though, verse 2, Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. In other words, the disciples did the baptizing for Jesus, so Jesus personally didn't do a lot of baptizing. Therefore, John did more baptizing.
Jesus didn't come to baptize.
Yeah.
He came to die for us, and Paul didn't come to baptize.
You know, if you think about the irony behind it all, when we were young in the faith, the pastor actually had me and my brother and somebody else do the baptizing while he stood out of the water. And I always thought he was trying to be like Jesus. And then as I got older, it dawned on me he didn't want to get wet. So just something you learn as you move along in the faith and go, oh, I thought that was spiritual. Maybe not so spiritual.
Well, it's funny because I had some friends that actually are, you know, they're from a religion that actually baptizes. And they're putting their faith on baptism. And I told them not to do that. It's a gift.
No.
You know, you can't work for it.
Yep, that and so many people, and I know which denomination, which group you're talking about, and there's many phenomenal people in there, and a lot of them don't understand. So it's basically blood regeneration, not water regeneration, and that's just really, I mean, it's by the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 makes that absolutely clear. But the baptism is a huge part of it, and we don't want people to minimize. And that's sometimes what happens in the church, is they'll take a position that's opposite because they don't agree with it, and they go too far to the extreme. And I'll give you a great example. Mary is a phenomenal person in the New Testament, Jesus's mother. But because of how far some people have taken it, the other people take it to the other extreme, going, oh, she was nobody. It's like, no, she wasn't nobody. She was somebody superbly significant. And it's like, you know, you can't be bouncing too far to the left or too far to the right. In fact, the scripture says, turn not to the left or right, or turn not to the right or the left, 26 times. It's like, wow. Okay.
Amen. We
got to walk in the middle.
Today.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome job, by the way. Awesome job on the trivia.
I headed off on my mission trip on Thursday morning from DFW to Dominican Republic. So just pray for me.
Brother, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and give you an awesome, awesome time. Great victory.
Great
fruit from that efforts, and that he would bless you and reward you, and your spirit would just be on fire with the grace and the glory of God. I pray that over you in Jesus' name.
Join in on something that's already going on.
Amen, brother. Love it. Great job. Great, great job.
Keep up the good work, David. We love listening to you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you, brother.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So you see, now you got to be praying for Alan. Why are you praying for Alan? Because Alan's doing missionary work. He's going to help witness people, share with people, fishing trip. He's going to do this because this guy. Do you know what? If you pray for him, you will find out that you are joining him. Pray for him. All right, now, I don't want anybody to get caught up on that last trivia question because it was sneaky. Okay, I'm telling you, I'm being honest with you. It was super sneaky. I know. Technically, John baptized more people. Jesus in crew baptized more, but Jesus didn't baptize, the disciples did. It was a technicality. I give everybody credit. It was pretty funny, except for people who are mad about it, and then you shouldn't be mad about it. It was kind of fun. Okay. All right, so let's go. We'll do a few more teaching, and we'll go a little later. I want to get into this thing here with David, because this comes out of Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2. This is what David says. King David spoke of this, describing the happiness of an undeserving sinner who's declared righteousness. By the way, you have to understand, there's a happiness in our salvation. It's not a weird happiness. It's like, man, I'm so glad I'm saved. You know those bumper stickers? It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Wrong. It's about the destination, period. Because the journey doesn't tell you anything. The destination, either in heaven or hell, that's a big difference, right? And so David's like, you know, I'm happy I'm saved. He goes, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose sin is no longer counted against them by the Lord. Listen to one of the big elements of joy that is a part of your life. Listen to the simplicity, David speaking it. It's simple. You're a sinner, an undeserving sinner. You are entitled to nothing. But there's a joy. And you know what that joy is? God said, you're forgiven. In the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. And that forgiveness, you should be like, hey, I'm forgiven. You know when guilt attacks you? Do you know that sometimes guilt operates in a perfect functionality with a person in their spirit? And sometimes it operates in a perfect non-functionality. In other words, not all guilt is perfect guilt. Not all accusations are from the Lord. In fact, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And there are times where guilt is heaped upon you for things that you've been forgiven for that have nothing to do with God putting it on you. That's people, and a dear sister mentioned this in a text just the other day. People who have done something wrong, and they have asked for forgiveness, and they have sought the mercy and the grace of God, and the Lord has forgiven them, and they are washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, and they have been forgiven, and there's supposed to be a joy in that forgiveness, and the devil keeps bringing it up. Again and again and again. You have to be aware of that. You have to be able to stand saying, I'm forgiven. The Lord has forgiven me. I am free. I am not under that bondage. The enemy wants you under bondage. In fact, we're talking about the enemy tomorrow. There's the truth of the matter. There is a joy in the forgiveness. But the devil doesn't want you to have joy, does he? And he's a thief, and he's there to steal. But when you are forgiven in Jesus, you're forgiven. And if God has let it go judicially, here's a great idea. You should let it go too. Why bring up that which the Lord has already removed? Interesting, right? We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Verse 24 in Mark 5, it says Jesus went with him. Sometimes Jesus went there. Sometimes Jesus just spoke the word. Sometimes Jesus went there. It happens in all different ways. I did read this ridiculous thing from this one person who said, you know, Jesus, you know, healed, you know, every single person in the entire community and didn't charge anybody any money. They were trying to make a political argument. And the fact of the matter is he only healed one guy at the pool of Bethsaida, and that was actually a hospital. It's like, what do you guys read this stuff? So this is where you pull back from those kind of things and you go, can we just keep it on track with the truth? It's just easier if you just tell the truth and keep it the way it is and not try and make it fit some kind of narrative. Here's this narrative issued by Scripture itself. Jesus tells Jairus, don't ignore what these people are saying. Don't be afraid. Take a stand. Now, I'm going to read verse 37. You got to catch what Jesus does. Amazing. He did not let anyone follow him in except for Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why is all this commotion? Why all this wailing? The child's not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. And he put them all out and took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, Talitha kaum? Talitha kaum? And that means, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. Remember the woman of the issue of the blood was 12 years of the issue of the blood. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this, and he told them to give her something to eat. Jesus was still ministering to this little girl, even though she was physically raised from the dead. He wanted to make sure she was taken care of. That's how Jesus is, okay? But what I want you to get is Jesus and the disciples and the parents, so they're all there, right? Because you got the parents there as well, right? And everybody's going, she's dead, she's dead, she's dead. And they're making fun of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Kicked him out. You know, for everybody that thinks that everything Jesus did was pull a flower out of his sleeve like a magician and just smiled and gave everybody an air high five, that's not how it went. Okay? They laughed at Jesus, and he put them all out. He took the child's father and mother and disciples with him. What did he do? He cleared the air. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where it's very, very unfriendly of the host to give you trick questions in regards to trivia. Oh, good. Here's another one. All right. Let's see if you guys can get this one. What part of the day did Jesus embark on the boat from when he calmed the storms? What part of the day was it? Was it morning, afternoon, or evening? Which part of the day did Jesus embark on the boat from where he calmed the waters? Mark chapter 4. I think it's 3 through 5. Well, I'm going to have to check. Mark chapter 4 is your definite reference. I think that's Mark 3 through 5. I'll have to double check it. If you think you know the answer, by the way, so was it morning, afternoon, or evening, you can reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's the email. I'm going to send you up to the website and tell you all the stuff I need to tell you just by saying this. On the website is a lot of cool stuff. There's a place to give. There's different articles, different videos, different audios. There's a place for you to get material if you want to be an ambassador. There's just a ton of podcast information. There's just cool stuff like a place for you to share a praise report or a prayer request and anything else. Plus, we got some other nifty stuff up there. My son's little business is up there. Stuff like that. Check all the stuff out because it really helps us out. Check it out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
No, there's something calming about that music, isn't there? It's like a weird, like, it's like just really calming. I don't know. It's so weird, isn't it? Anyway.
It's iconic. When you hear it, you know it's Pink Panther.
That's a good one. Okay. So the answer was Mark 4:35. See, there's a big space between the 3 and the 5. That's why I was getting confused. Which part of the day did Jesus embark on the boat from when he calmed the waters? Is it morning, afternoon, or evening? Your answer is in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. If you don't know and you can't look it up, it is okay to guess. Nobody will be mad at you. Nothing like that happens. You can call us, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. What time is it when Jesus did the walking on the watery thingy? Mark chapter 4, verse 35. In the meantime, we're going to do history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
All right, now, there's no massive food ones on this, so this is going to be a faster one. Just saying. But it is Tuba Day. Now, I played the clarinet, but I did not play the tuba and always felt sorry for the people that tried to play the tuba. It always seemed like it was bigger than they were, right? It's just huge.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't in band, but I did, for like a short bit, I played drums. But yeah, as far as like actually being in band in school.
Yeah, couldn't. Yeah. It was weird. I just want to say, I mean, all I remember is getting my Bundy clarinet rental. That's all I remember. Today is, let's see. Actually, this is kind of a weird one, but today, 1824 on this day. So 200 years ago today, exactly, right? Beethoven's Ninth Symphony was premiered 200 years ago today.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
That
is pretty amazing. And then in 1998 on this day, Apple Computer unveiled its iMac, which was back in the day when that was more fascinating. Now everything's a computer, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, now everything's a computer, and they come out with the new iPhone every year.
Yeah, yep. Every year. And every year the same people get in line. Okay. Anyway, we'll just skip out that. Your trivia question. Don't get mad at me. It's funny. What part of the day did Jesus embark on the boat when he calmed the water? So when Jesus calmed down the waters, okay, be calm, be calm. Was it morning, afternoon, or evening? Mark chapter 4, verse 35, your last chance, 972-445-0770. Also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemusincrease.org. Back to this text we go because this is critical. Right? It's critical. So this is one of the things and I'm going to say this beforehand. We have different denominations in our realm, right? And there's awesome things about most of those denominations, okay? There's a couple of things that people like freak out on and really, you know, pick up. You know what? That's not the key, right? Is it a person that absolutely loves Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior? Are they a Bible-believing, born-again Christian? Is it their Heavenly Father? Are they drinking of the same Holy Spirit? Are we blood relatives? That's what counts. Okay? You don't, even if you go to a church and you know, I have not gone to, well, I can say this safely. I have not gone to any church where I agreed with every single thing I've ever heard, including ones that I pastored. Take that on. It's like, yeah. All right, that's how that goes. All right, let's go back to the text. So I want to say this is really important. So King David's speaking about happiness, and he's speaking about joy. He says, oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yay, what joy for those whose sins are no longer counted against them by the Lord. And this is an important part, and that is, you know all of those sins that you committed? Do you know all the sins that you're going to commit? Oh, wait, you don't. But you know who does? God does. And so what's important to understand is that the forgiveness, the redemption that comes through Jesus, he didn't forgive some of your sins. That's a terrible theology. It's poorly, poorly put together. That's like a Legos without using the clicks on it. That's like using, you know, building a house with popsicle sticks and the sticks are broken. That just doesn't work. When Jesus forgave your sins, he forgave all of your sins. But that doesn't end everything there. Because he forgave all your sins, that's your position. But the practical is that you are still encountering those moments where you have to reflect Jesus more and more, and God is challenging you and cutting you back so that you produce more and more fruit and challenging you to reflect Jesus Christ more and more in your life. And so those sins that are forgiven are still being they're forgiven positionally, but practically you're still growing into it. So in other words, God has made it clear. David Spoon, you are clean. There is no sin in you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Cool. That's awesome. That is a reason for me to be in joy. But David, the practicality of your life is you got some things in there that we got to clean up so that I can make you look like I have declared you to be. So I've declared you right and innocent, and now I'm going to work on you and whittle away at you so that you can grow in that process. So here's the thing that people need to understand. And I did my part of my master's, not my doctorate, but my master's on this, is the difference between justification, sanctification, and glorification. So let's just really make it super easy. Every day, you're going to think I'm crazy. Every day I pray this. I thank you for saving me. I thank you that you are saving me. And I thank you that you will save me. I am thankful that God has saved me from a penalty judicial point of view. I am thankful that God continues to work at me so that I can reflect Jesus Christ more and more. And I am thankful that there's coming a day where none of that will be in the realm I'm in, because the realm I'll be in will be the 24/7 presence of the Lord, and I won't have to deal with the presence of any kind of sin. So in one, we deal with the penalty of sin. In the next phase, we deal with the power of sin. And in the last phase, we deal with the presence of sin. In the meantime, I have every right and obligation and responsibility, by the way, to rejoice because the penalty of my sin has been broken. And God has declared me free. That's the power. I know I did dumb things. I've been a Christian 45 years. I know I've done dumb things 46 years ago, 45, 44, 43, 42, 41, 40, 39, 38, 37, just keep going. But I know that in Jesus Christ, I am redeemed. I am forgiven, and those sins are laid to rest. And man, is that not a reason to praise the Lord? Thank you for saving me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And I can see the joy because of his grace and mercy. Okay, which part of the day did Jesus embark on the boat from when he calmed the waters? Was that morning, afternoon, or evening? And the answer is the evening. Ooh, the evening time. That's your answer. We'll take a short break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, you guys like that one, huh? Like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. You guys ought to get this one. It's a very specific answer. How old was David when he was anointed king of Israel? And when he actually became king, how old was he when he began to reign? Not when he was anointed with oil, but when he became king. Your answer is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. How old was he when he began to reign as king of Israel? How old was he? 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. Very specific answer. If you think you know, all right, I'll give some people a hint. How about this? 20, 30, or 40. There's your hint. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I do have to do a couple of these jokes because I think they're funny, and I need to do them. You like that? Two of these, I think you're really going to like this. Ready? Ready? You're all set for me? Here we go. Why did the strawberry need a lawyer? Because it was in a jam. Yay! All right. Now, there's two more. Now, I just got to bear with me on some of these. Did you hear about the calendar thief? Did you hear about the calendar thief? He got 12 months. They say his days are numbered. All right. Now this one's a little quirkier. Can I use that word quirkier for a joke? It's kind of like a quirkier. Okay, sure. Okay, here we go. All right. I am not satisfied at all with the evidence against you, said the judge to the prisoner on trial. So I find you not guilty. You are free to go. Oh, good, said the prisoner. Does that mean I can actually keep the money? Okay. I tried. I thought it was kind of cute. All right. We do have somebody on the phone. Are they ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Fred. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Fred. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I can't complain.
Yeah, and complaining wouldn't help, so then there's no point
in doing
it.
It would not help.
That's
no,
right. All right, my brother, I'll set it up for you. We'll go from there. How old was David when he was anointed king to be the king of Israel? How long when he began to reign? Was he 20 years old, 30 years old, or 40 years old?
You know, what I find interesting about this is that, well, the answer to the question is 30.
That is correct, Amundo!
But what I find interesting about those who are truly called of God for a particular purpose, and we're all called for a reason, but God chooses us before we are even born.
Correct.
While we're yet in our mother's womb, he chooses us for a... Well, Jeremiah. I mean, we all know Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before you were born, God knew him. Just like he knows all of us, but it's amazing. We're called at one point, but we don't start serving until another point in our life.
You know what? It's such a great point because it really shows you, one, who's in control.
Absolutely.
The who's in control part is, I think, critical. And then number two, it also shows you that who's in control. It just shows you the same thing. It's like there's no mess around. God knows what he's doing. There's not a single plan that's bad. He knows what's going on. So that's right. We just have to sometimes grow up in him to get to that. That's really what exactly. A lot of it do. Excellent.
You have to come up to where he wants you to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Here's your target. Get here. You can. I've seen it. Get there.
Yes, yes. Yes. But not only that, I'm going to help you get there because you can be confident in this very thing that he which has begun a good work in you will continue it.
That's right.
Until the day of Jesus Christ.
Philippians 1:6. Exactly right, brother. It's like he doesn't stop work. He's not done. He's not. He'll let you know when you're done, and he'll let you know when he's done. But he ain't done.
I don't think it's halfway through with me yet. So I'm just yielding myself to him and praying that he have his way in my life.
Amen. Amen. You brother. You know what I like about you? One of the things I like about you. You are just encouraging. That is
thank you. So are you.
That's a great gift. I just want you to know that's a great, great gift you have.
Well, that's why I listen to you every day, because every day I listen to you, I am very encouraged.
Oh, I appreciate that, bro. Very, very much so.
God bless you. God bless you. Love you. Have a nice rest of the day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. I got 1 minute. Watch me pull off this deep theological thing in a minute. Yes, I can. Watch. Ready? Here's what's remarkable about this passage that we're in Romans. Okay. I want you to understand this. This is the biggest thing. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. So these are three significant events. One, the death. The death is what dealt with our sins. In burial, Jesus died for us, with us, laid it to the ground, destroying the power of our old earthly self as we connect with him. But in the resurrection, there's a restoration of what was lost in the garden. So what you have to understand, really, what for fast, in his death, the animosity was broken. In his resurrection life, the favored relationship friendship is established. In his death, the bad is removed. In his resurrection life, the good is introduced. Each portion has a significant event. The death, burial, and resurrection was needed to bring down the bad and to bring in the new. The death brought down the bad. The resurrection brought in the new. Now you're a theological genius, and you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More with Spoonanity. Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. God bless.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false, but it feels...
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.